If some of you left emotional mothers back home, joyfully hysterical at seeing you leave for school, please know that there is someone here who welcomes you exactly the same way. I delight in the assignment of being your mother away from home. Now that's the joyful part. And of course, I want every single one of you to tell me what time you'll be in each night. And that's the hysterical part. Please know that we love you and that we're so happy you're back. Because of the very special family feeling we have here at BYU, this campus can be your alma mater, literally your fostering mother. There's absolutely an army of people here anxious to nurture you in faith and knowledge, to help you understand that Christ-centered learning will give you an inner core of confidence and the strength to succeed in life's tasks. I want you to know that I know something of the anxieties with which you start school this year. And so my deepest, my most earnest wish for you is that you will approach this year with peace and self-assurance, that you will be more caring for yourself and as kind to yourself as you would be to a friend in need. You are in need, and you ought to be your own best friend. Military historians tell us that an army can seldom fight a successful war on two fronts. Napoleon learned that lesson too late, and we should make certain that we learn it in a less painful way than he did. We will always have some external battles to fight on an exterior front. Those battles of life which the Lord, in his wisdom, allows us to face so we can grow and be purified and become skillful problem solvers. These outside problems might include a poor grade in a difficult class, or some dating frustrations, or perhaps the very real financial challenges you face. My prayer for you is that such troubles on an external front can be faced and finally conquered. However, the battle which many of you wage on an interior front concerns me much more than those external ones I have just mentioned. Many of us create a civil war within ourselves by internalizing problems of fear, uncertainty, self-doubt, and worry, often over things we can do preciously little about. So if we spend our time and energy worrying about being too tall or too short, or about our freckles and warts and big noses, then I fear we're doomed to certain defeat. The person who is engaged in such a constant internal fight has little energy and power left to win the outside battles. To be successful in the many skirmishes of life, you cannot afford to be your own worst enemy. And taking the battles inside, firing mortar shells into your very soul, is potentially one of the most damaging of all human activities. Believe it or not, you can recover from poor grades, or a missed date, or a flat tire and dead battery on the car. But if you turn such outside matters into self-recrimination and self-criticism, let them damage your spirit and your sense of self-worth and esteem, then you have begun a battle with a very high mortality rate indeed. When I was your age, and sometimes even now, there was often a struggle over how I saw myself. I was very skilled in the art of pummeling myself. I had a terrible habit of bringing problems inside, when in fact, they should have been handled in practical, external ways. I seem to have a real knack for fighting life's battles on two or three or four fronts at once, and I took a lot of needless shrapnel as a result. So, as an old casualty herself, I plead with you to make a distinction between your problems and yourselves. There is a crucial difference. Problems can be painful and dark and disappointing, but we are not painful and dark and disappointing. We are children of God, and we must see ourselves as God sees us, recognizing the positive in ourselves, the part God loves so much, even as we work on what we may think are our freckles and warts and blemishes and big noses. You can change how you see yourself. You can. I promise you can. And that is why a new year is so exhilarating. We have an opportunity to see things better than ever before. We can, as Shakespeare said, pluck from memory a rooted sorrow and raise out the written troubles of the brain. Dorothy Hulst has written, "As the physically weak woman can make herself strong by careful and patient training, so the woman of weak thoughts can make them strong by exercising herself in right thinking. To put away weak and negative thoughts and to begin to think with purpose is to enter the ranks of those strong ones who only recognize failure as one of the pathways to attainment and make all," and I underline that again, "and make all conditions serve them, and who think strongly, attempt fearlessly, and accomplish masterfully," close quote. I am pleading with you, my dear friends, not to wait until you get my age before you understand this. It is possible to live with all your power in the present. You can replace old doubts with new hopes, so clean out that closet in your mind and haul a load of needless negative baggage off to DI. You can begin by practicing just three simple exercises in right thinking. Number one, remember that any failure is only temporary in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The decision to carry on in spite of disappointment turns the worst of circumstances into success. Number two, there can be no self-pity, and that means no self-pity. Nothing dissipates our strength faster or more quickly, or drives away more quickly those who would wish to help us, than if we indulge in self-pity. And number three, eliminate all would-haves, could-haves, should-haves, and if-onlys. What has happened is past and finished, so leave it there. Profound power will come in living and making things right in the present. I have not only lived long enough now to believe that God gives us weaknesses in order that they may become strengths, but I have also lived long enough to see that promise from the Book of Ether fulfilled. I have lived long enough to see some of my earlier limitations become my greatest blessings, and I have also seen growth in areas in which I didn't particularly want any strength, but which a loving Father in heaven knew I surely must have needed. To recognize areas of vulnerability and needed growth in our life is to recognize a chance for divine influence. I have loved this thought from Sister Therese Lisieux. If you are willing to serenely bear the trial of personal disappointment and weakness, then you will be for Jesus a pleasant place of shelter. I think she's right. I think the Lord is looking for people who are truly contrite. Humility is very becoming to any of us, and humility comes from an honest and balanced recognition of both our limitations and our strengths. But I also think that the Lord will not be particularly comfortable dwelling with a person who, to the exclusion of all other joys and blessings in life, ponders continually on their problems, who is obsessed and finally immobilized by them, who hasn't learned to bear those limitations serenely. That isn't humility. That's near blasphemy. And when you dwell on your limitations excessively, to the point that they affect your inner view and strength, you mock God in His very creation. You deny the divinity that is within you. you resist the gift of Christ on the cross. So be patient in your pursuit of perfection. May I close with a very practical approach to a new beginning. Brother James T. Duke of our faculty recently wrote a provocative and inspiring article for The Ensign. In it, he said, "I often discuss with my sociology students the work of George Herbert Mead, a great analyst of human behavior. George Mead was especially interested in the human mind and the way it operates. According to Mead, thinking is essentially a conversation we hold with ourselves. We can hear ourselves talking, he says, and the import of what we say is the same to ourselves as it is to others." That is a profound idea. We all talk to ourselves, don't we? Then why don't we improve the quality of that conversation? Speaking personally, I'm constantly saying, "I wonder if my alarm will go off. Will Duffy get the teachers he wants for school this year? Yes, I know I should start an exercise program. And I do hope the Lord will forgive me for eating mocha-flavored ice cream." If that kind of thinking is simply a conversation with ourselves, and it is, why not turn it just a bit more into a conversation with God? To do so, in essence, is to fulfill the scriptural injunction to pray continually. As Brother Duke says, "My thoughts become more meaningful and more holy when I direct them towards my Father in heaven." Now, when I follow that practice, my self-talk becomes much more lofty, much more encouraging, and it loses the ingredients of fear and doubt. I find myself shifting my thinking this way. "Father in heaven, please let me awaken on time to a full and pleasant day. Bless Duffy as well as Matt and Mary, that they will have a superb academic experience this year. Grant me the discipline to improve my health with a good physical fitness program. And please forgive my mocha-flavored ice cream. Unless, of course, thou would see fit to approve of it." Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Close quote. Edify and minister grace unto your hearers, especially when every waking hour of every single day, that hearer is you. The result of that kind of personal conversation can bring for virtually all of us near perfect inner peace and a much more positive view of those outward battles we face. And best of all, we will no longer fight on two fronts. We will focus our strength on the kinds of battles that God very much prefers that we fight. As Paul said in another setting, "Therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Close quote. Welcome to a new year and what can literally be for you a new life in Christ, where all things become new and old things pass away. Of that I bear my testimony and leave my love in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.